Would you please open to 1 Corinthians chapter 12? 1 Corinthians chapter 12. As you're turning there, and those of you watching or listening to this are turning, you might want to get a piece of paper and maybe a pen to write some things down as we go. And I'll let you know what to write when we get to that point. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, in verse 12, it says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit," meaning by one nature, by one, call it spiritual DNA, if you will, "we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been made to drink into one Spirit." So really, the Holy Spirit worked on us, the spirit of regeneration, if you will. The Bible talks about that over there in Timothy. And his work in us brought about the manifestation of the born-again spirit, the new nature. Well, then he begins describing how that, the foot is a part of the body. And let me just kind of paraphrase as we go. You know, even if the foot is covered with a sock and a shoe, it's still a part of the body. And even though it is covered up with a sock and a shoe, it might start feeling, neglected. You know, nobody gets to see me, everybody gets to see the nose and all that. But take the foot away and the rest of the body realizes how important the foot is. Likewise, take the nose away and the rest of the body realizes how important the nose is. Take away the little toe off the foot. Suddenly you remember how much you like that little toe and how valuable it was for you to even maintain balance while you were walking. So he goes through and he describes different aspects of the body and how that one part of the human body can't say, well, I don't belong or I'm more important or what have you. Every part of the human body has a role to play. Well, he says, in the same fashion, in the body of Christ, we all have a role to play. And he's in verse 27, it says, "Ye are the body of Christ and members in particular." The thumb, the toe, the nose, the ear, everything, elbow, you name it. It's all a part of the body, all serves a purpose. Now, we are members of the body of Christ and we all serve a purpose. One of the things that I guess you could say it really wants to irritate me, and that is to be around Christians, people who've been Christians for a while, I mean a few years, and they still have this poor old me, I ain't nothing attitude, this opinion of themselves. You know what I'm saying? Because when you read the Bible, especially in this chapter, God's making it clear you have a role to play. And from his perspective, your role is no less important than someone else's. To us, that's a hard thing to believe because we see the pastors of the churches running 20,000 people. We see the preachers traveling all over the world. And we tend to assign levels of importance to people like that, of great, great importance. The people, you walk into the Christian bookstores and their books are all over the place. Well, they must be really important. They must be somebody. Well, have you read all the books? And how do you know that they're all right? How do you know that the doctrine of those? Listen, there are some people, their books ought to be taken off the shelf. You know, if it's a 12-chapter book and 10 chapters are right on, but 2 chapters are leaven, that book ought to be pulled. Now, anyway, we're not here to talk about that. But what I'm saying is, from God's perspective, he doesn't see any less importance when you talk about an evangelist who's never preached to more than 50 people at a time compared to the evangelist who's preached to 100,000 people at a time on a regular basis. God doesn't see that there's any difference in their importance. None. None at all. As a pastor in this church, I have encountered people who assign relevant importance to tasks based upon their opinion of the task. So let me just make some things up. I'm not sharing with you specifics, okay? So when I share these makeup things, don't start thinking, well, he's talking about that person. I'm not. You know, when you go into the restrooms, there's soap in the containers. Well, aren't you glad there's soap in the containers? There's a good chance there might not be too many people in this room who knows who puts that soap in those containers. When you drive up and you see that the grass is not knee high, aren't you glad? When you walk into church and it doesn't stink, I mean stink, aren't you glad? When you walk in here and in the heat of the summer, there's some air conditioning. Well, I could go on. But from God's perspective, there is nobody he esteems greater than another person. Some people are not ready to step behind a pulpit and open their mouth, let alone say anything when they do. But God sees them as being just as important in his kingdom. Now let's look at another place. Keep all this in mind. Look over in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Now we're going to jump in the middle of this, and it's speaking of the gifts, ministry gifts that have been given to the church and so forth, and that they're teaching people and all. Anyway, just pick it up in verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But, speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body... Now remember, we just read that we are the body of Christ. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now that's all wordy, but basically what we're seeing here is that every person has something to supply. Every person has something to give. And we're not talking money. We're talking about the role you play in the body of Christ. Well, you bring that home to the local church. The role you play in the local church. Every person in a local church has something to contribute. That's going to be different from person to person. But every person does. Every single person does. And we've had people in this church over the years. They don't do much. And it's not because they come to me and they say, "Why, I'm just a do-nothing. I'm just a loser. I'm just an old what-you-call-it." They don't come to me and say that, but they say it to me with their face, with their actions, and with other things they say. And it's, you can talk about, well, why is it like that? Well, I don't know, poor self-image or whatever. But really what it comes down to is they don't fully grasp there's something for you to do. You do have value. You are important. And there is something that you can contribute. You know, for years and years, medical science felt like the appendix was just leftover stuff, you know. Like God had, you know, okay, I got something left over. What do I do with this? Stick it in there. They didn't think the appendix had any business being in the human body, so anytime they cut you open for anything, boom, they take the appendix out. Well, guess what? Years ago, they found out the appendix does play a role. Look, if it's in the human body, it's there for a reason. You know, you know, God didn't just make a mistake. Oh, why'd I put that in there? It's there for a reason. Medical science didn't believe it. And all those little appendixes, they got cut out. I mean, that's terrible. Don't you just feel sorry for all those little appendixes got cut out? It's that poor little appendix. But now they have a role. Well, that's being kind of silly, but you get the idea. Every person has something they can contribute in some way, shape, or form. As we grow and mature in the Lord, there's more that we're going to be able to contribute. And like he talks about here, that every joint supplieth, you know, making increase unto the body and so forth. You're a part, not just of the entire body of Christ, but you're also a part of this local body, and so there's a role for you to play. There's something that you can do. Now, what I want to do at this point is take you back to the Old Testament and show you a type and shadow of everything that we've just looked at in 1 Corinthians and in Ephesians. Go back to 1 Chronicles chapter 28. I'll give you a moment to find it. 1 Chronicles chapter 28. Now, what's happened here is, David had wanted to build a temple for the Lord. And God said, no, David, you're not the one to do it. Your son Solomon, he'll do it. But what I want you to do is begin collecting building materials and so forth. So we pick this story up in 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 20. And David said to Solomon his son, be strong and of good courage and do it, meaning build the temple. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee, until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. And behold, the courses of the priests and the Levites, even they shall be with thee for all the service of the house of God. And there shall be with thee for all manner of workmanship, every willing, skillful man, for any manner of service. Also the princes and all the people will be holy at thy commandment. Well, what are we doing here today? Well, we're building the kingdom of God. I mean, that's what this is all about. And in the process of building the kingdom of God, people get saved. People get filled with the Holy Spirit. But then it's a matter of being edified spiritually, what we're talking about in 1 Corinthians 12 and Ephesians chapter 4. We have been made a part of the family of God, and Jesus talked about how that the servant does not dwell in the house forever, but the son dwells in the house forever. So in this imagery, what we're doing is we're building the house of God. Now, again, using imagery, Solomon would represent a pastor. Then when we talk about all of the willing, skillful workers, that would be the people within the congregation. Now, that doesn't dismiss the pastor from his role, because when you read this whole story, Solomon was very involved. It wasn't just a matter of he sat back and said, okay, well, you know, whatever, just let me know when you're done. It wasn't like that. But willing, skillful workers. Willing, skillful workers. They were to be involved in different aspects of the building of the house. Now, some of them were carpenters, some of them would have been stone cutters, some of them would have been whatever, experts in linens and things like that, so that the temple was finally built. But they all had a role. Some of the people had the role of making sure the workers had food and water, and I don't know, they might have actually had people with those great big fans, fanning some of the workers on those really hot days. I really don't know what they did. I don't know the sum total of everything that happened. But it's very clear right here that the people would have a role, that they would all have some responsibility in building the house. And he says, David was speaking to Solomon, and he said, the Lord will be with you. The Lord, he's not going to forsake you. He's going to be there. And there are people who are going to be doing a lot of stuff. And if you read in this, verse 20 and 21, if you really read this, what the Lord was telling Solomon is, you're not expected to do this alone. There are people who have responsibilities, and God expects the people who have responsibilities to do what they're supposed to do. The one thing that, you know, Scripture talks about, don't say you're going to do something, don't give your word, and then just not do it. God holds you accountable for that. Now, I look back over my own life, and I'm sure there are times when I've said, well, I'll do something, and then I didn't do it. As I stand here tonight, I don't remember any of those, but I'm sure there were. However, at this point, I understand how critical that is. And when people ask me to do something, look, let me just give you some tips here, okay? If you have this great idea that you want somebody to do something or to join you and do something, and you think, well, I'll call them and they'll go with me to, I don't know what, a movie, a balloon launch, I don't know, just whatever, a meal. And so you call somebody and you say, hey, what are you doing Friday night? Don't do that. If you ever call me and ask me that, you know what I'm going to say? I'm going to say, why? And then you're going to think I'm the one that's being rude. No, you just ask me a setup question. And I learned a long time ago, that ain't happening to me ever again. You call me and say, hey, what are you doing tomorrow? I'm going to ask you why. Why are you asking? Why do you want to know? Nosy. Why do you care? I don't know. What are you doing tomorrow? You just ask. Hey, listen, we're going to be doing such and such. Would you like to go with us? And if they say, well, I think I'm just going to, you know, stay home. Don't get offended. Well, fine then. Boom, hang up. I ain't asking you never again. Don't do that. Be straight up with people. Don't ask setup questions. I know this seems silly, but when you ask a setup question, immediately some people, their guard goes up, and you have felt that at times when people have asked that question of you. What are you doing tomorrow night? Well, if I say nothing, I'm half obligated to do whatever it is you suggest. Because nobody wants to sit around and do nothing. I do. You can ask Kathy. I'm perfectly happy just sitting around and doing nothing. Breathing, you know, whatever. But you guys understand what I'm talking about, okay? Now I got to think, what's it got to do with this sermon? No, everybody's got responsibilities. And when you say you're going to do something, you're supposed to do it. You're supposed to follow through. It's interesting. See, I'm one of these kind of people, I don't bug you. Have you ever noticed that? I don't bug you. And if somebody says, yes, do such and such, I just sit back and wait for you to do it. And then when months go by and you haven't done it, you've told me a lot. That whatever you committed to, it didn't mean as much to you as you implied, or you lied to me, or your word isn't that important, etc., and so forth. And that's happened a few times over the years. But I don't bug you. That's a quick way to drive people out of a church. Hey, why didn't you keep your word? Well, that's kind of a little too blunt there. When you give your word, you're supposed to keep it, but you have a role to play. You all have a role to play. I'd rather you look at me and say, well, I'd rather not. I'm not going to take offense. Trust me, I'm not. I would rather you just say, well, you know, I'd rather not. It's like, that's okay. No problem here. We'll find somebody else. It'll get done. It's all right. Just, you know, be up front with me here. But what will you do? What will you do? See, it isn't a matter of trying to make me happy. It's a matter of realizing what God has said here in His Word. If God looks at each of us as having a role to play, having something to do, even if we're not sure what it is, there's still something that we can do. There's still a way to be involved. There is a way to do something. And here in Chronicles, we've seen like a type and shadow of what we see over there in Ephesians and 1 Corinthians 12. Because remember, the Bible says that Jesus has made us kings and priests unto God. So anyway, we see the imagery. All right, now, all of this is leading up to what's getting ready to happen here. We have a conference that starts this coming Sunday. Every one of us here has a role to play in that conference. Now, some people are already involved by virtue of being greeters because we're having two services a day, so we need greeters at the front door. It's very, very critical. I take that very, very seriously. When I see that there's no greeter downstairs, there are sometimes I'll check the schedule to see who is supposed to be down there, and they're not down there. And if they're not down there, that means they did not effectively communicate that they weren't going to be here. That's not right. The rest of this church is depending on you to be down there. And when the visitors come in, they are indirectly depending on somebody to be there. So that is extremely important. I've stressed this before. It's more important to me than you could ever understand that we have greeters down there. Well, anyway, we've got greeters. And there are other things people are going to be doing to help out. You know, food in the mornings downstairs before. There'll be cleaning during the week, and on it goes. So there are things that people are doing. Well, let's take this a little bit further. We are the host church. Now, I'm the host pastor, so obviously I'll be a focal point, and I know that going in. There are a lot of things people will probably come and ask me. It usually happens every year. That they could have asked somebody else, but, you know, I'm the pastor, so that's okay. I understand. It's no problem. It's just the way it works. But let's think about this conference. Not only are you a part of this church, but you're a part of the conference. Now get ready to write. And what I'm going to do is ask you a question. I'm going to give you a moment to write down your answers. The first question is this. And you don't necessarily have to write the question down. You can. What five things do you hope to see take place during the conference? What five things do you hope to see take place during the conference? And what I want you to do right now is just give some thought to that. And there may not be five things you can think of. Maybe you can only think of two things. But we're limiting it at five. But later on tonight, you may come up with another five. So right now, what I'd like you to do, and I realize you didn't have a whole lot of warning about all this, and that's okay. Just right now, as you're sitting thinking about it, what five things, or two things, or three, or four, whatever, what five things do you hope to see take place during the conference? So you just go ahead and write those down. Those of you watching, same thing, write these down, especially if you who are watching by way of internet are planning to be here for the conference. What five things do you hope to see take place during the conference? And obviously, for the sake of brevity relative to the length of this sermon, keep your answers as short as possible, and you can expand on them later. But again, what five things do you hope to see take place during the conference? And I'm not going to give you any hints as to what five things to write down. This is you. And no, you're not going to turn this in. You're not going to turn this. This is for you, for each of you, okay? So I'm not going to check your work. Dot your I's, cross your T's. Watch your grammar, your spelling. What five things do you hope to see take place during the conference? And you might want to leave some space on your paper to write more down later on as you may think about this. But I want to move on to the next one. Number two, what five things do you hope to experience during the conference? This is you personally. What five things do you hope to experience during the conference? What five things do you hope to experience during the conference? Now, I realize that some people won't be here for every service because of jobs and what have you, and I do understand that, and that's okay. But you will be here for, you know, some of the services. So number two, what five things do you hope to experience during the conference? And just go ahead, think about this. Again, if you can only think of two things, that's all right. You might think of more later. And it really would be good to just ask the Lord, is there anything that I need to write down for this? Meaning, I know what things I hope to experience, but Father, what things do you want me to experience? And then jot that down underneath this as well. This is where thinking about this beyond tonight may come in handy. See, one of the things that we're doing here tonight is building hope. Because once you have, remember in Scripture it talks about write the vision, make it plain, he who reads it will understand it. Well, you're not going to be sharing these with anybody else, but by writing these things down, it may help you to focus more on what God is doing during the conference. See, I've been going to these kinds of conferences. I've been going to a lot of conferences, revivals, you know, for years and years and years. But the type that we're having here, I first attended in March of 1997 at the Prayer Center in Tulsa. And over the years, what I've noticed is that for some people, it almost seems like a vacation than a desire for an experience with God. Now, nobody has ever said that. Never, never. And I would say that for some people, well, I would say that the number of people who are like that, it's very possibly that it's a very low number. But I think it's easy to not take these conferences as seriously as we should. To be, well, just distractions and what have you. By writing these things down, it may help us to be better prepared to receive from God, whatever that means for each person. All right, number three. What five things do you see as your responsibilities during the conference? What five things do you see as being your responsibilities during the conference? Now, I'll read it again. What five things do you see as your responsibilities during the conference? Now, obviously, some people who have agreed to be a greeter, that's going to be one that's on their list. The people that are on the praise team, well, I'm going to be on the praise team during the services. That'll be on their list. So some people already have specific things they've committed to do. But beyond that, what five things do you see as your responsibilities during the conference? And you may not be able to think of anything right now. Well, again, this is something that you could pray and talk to God about. Father, what responsibilities, expectations do you have of me during the conference? What is it you want me to do? Because remember, as a host church, we're not just here to attend. We're here to be, as it says over in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, helpers of your joy. We're here to do everything we can to make sure that the folks who come here have the best experience they possibly can. Not just spiritually, but also socially. That when they come here, they feel like they're at home. When they come here, they feel like we appreciate them being here. That when they come here, they feel like this is a good place to be. This is the right place. You know, something you may have noticed when you first walked in. is back there on the tables, right there behind the last pew, there are two things specifically. The City of Dayton Visitor's Guide book, and then the Greene County Visitor's Guide book. Those are back there for a reason. I went both to the Greene County and to the City of Dayton and got those. Got two boxes of each. Because I want the people who come here to enjoy being here, not just in the church. I want this to be, I mentioned the concept of a vacation. Well, you know what? I want it to be a good getaway time too. I want them to come here and have 100% of the spiritual experience they can possibly have, but I also want them to be able to enjoy all the time that they are here. And because we only have a morning and an evening service, I want them to know what's available in this area. Different sites, different things they can do so that they can enjoy this. And when they go home, they are going to be physically, spiritually, and emotionally refreshed. There are little pamphlets back there about the Air Force Museum. I'm going to emphasize that during the conference. You know, if you've never been there, you need to go. It doesn't cost anything. It's free. Things like that, because when they walk in here and they're a part of this, I want them to realize that we're interested in their entire trip, not just their time here in this church. That we are interested in the moment they get here to the moment they leave. Now, obviously, we can't facilitate everything for them and can't do everything, but that's why some of that information is back there. There's information about the mall, the Fairfield Commons Mall, directions on how to get there, directions how to get to the green. I want it to be such to where when people leave, when this conference is over, they go home already planning to come back because they had such an incredible 100% total grand experience that everything was great. Because that's part of touching people's lives. You know, when Paul, if you read in the book of Acts, he called the ministry leaders of Ephesus to Miletus for a meeting. Well, the city of Miletus at that time was one of the primary vacation resorts in all of that part of the country. He could have had that meeting in a number of different places, but he had that meeting there. And though history, I can't find anything on it or haven't yet, but that to me, that says, I want you to enjoy this time that we're here. Not just for the spiritual aspect, but I want you to enjoy this time that's here. So what we've done so far, we've asked three questions. What five things do you hope to see take place during the conference? What five things do you hope to experience during the conference? What five things do you see as your responsibilities during the conference? And now number four. What are you going to do to facilitate numbers 1, 2, and 3? What are you going to do to facilitate numbers 1, 2, and 3? In other words, all of these things happening, you play a role in this. All of the things that you hope to see take place, what is your responsibility to help facilitate that? Now, I don't know what that would be. It could be that you ask God, what do I need to do to facilitate these things? And he may just say, I want you praying. I want you praying for these things to take place during the conference. I want you praying that, you know, you're going to receive number two, the experiences. I want you to pray that you fulfill your responsibilities, whatever it would be. How are you going to facilitate numbers 1, 2, and 3? Now, this is not meant to put pressure on anybody. What it's meant to do, again, is to draw our focus into why this is going on, why are we having this conference, and because we are the host church, the host family, what is our role in this? What am I supposed to do? How can I impact? How can I help? What can I possibly do? And Father, I want your wisdom. See, the one thing you don't want to do is assume false responsibility and start thinking of, well, I'll do this and I'll do that. And I'll, no, no. You can come to me and talk about, you know, is it okay if I do such and such, and is that okay? But the one thing you don't want to do is sit and think, you know, well, boy, you know, I got to make Pastor happy, so I better do this and I better do that. No, no, you don't assume false responsibility. But you do have responsibilities. What are they? That is something that God will help you understand. So, in this conference that's coming up, what's going to happen is you're going to meet people you've never met. Make them glad they've met you. You're going to have, there may be some people come here who have rather unique ideas about things. It may be that you are just to smile, not necessarily agree, but just smile and listen and, you know, ask God, Father, help me get out of this. I've done that before. I have. Father, please. You know, send somebody over here to interrupt or something. While I'm standing there smiling and listening, that, you know, the grin and bear it kind of thing. We want people. Anyway, I really believe you guys understand this. There is, remember in Scripture it talks about how that, you know, if you give a cold cup of water, you know, there's a reward. You understand that? Just a smile while you're answering, oh, the restrooms are right downstairs. How many of you have ever been in a situation, where is the restroom? You know what I'm saying? The older you get, the more those events begin to happen. So where is the restroom? A smile on your face while you say they're right down there. You have no idea how much of it. That person will remember you. That person will remember you for all eternity. Father, that's the person right there. It's, well, I don't know that I need to say a whole lot more. You guys understand. There are people coming in here. They need what's going to happen. See, you don't know what's going on in their lives back home. You do not know what their home situation is like. You don't know what their church situation is like. Man, I tell you what, I was contacted here, and I will not be going into detail, but I was contacted here recently about a church situation. I mean, talk about being shocked. Just my heart went out to this person. Well, I don't know if that person's going to be here at this conference or not, but you just don't know what's going on, and that's why. Sometimes, you know, Jesus talked about going the extra mile. During conferences like this, we need to be ready to go that extra mile, even if it's just an extra hug, whatever it is, so that we can minister to people and at times not even realize we're being used of God to minister to them. So think about these things. Give it some thought. Give it some prayer. Ask God, have I missed anything relative to what was said tonight? Is there anything else that I need to know? Help me to be ready to fulfill my role during this conference, even if nobody knows my name. Help me to be ready to fulfill my role. And folks, I'm telling you, I really believe that this is going to be an exceptional conference. I don't even know what that means at this point. I don't know what the results are going to be, but I really believe it's going to be something very special and very unique. And so I encourage you to be here as much as you possibly can. And those of you watching, if you aren't going to be here, all the services in the conference are going to be broadcast live and then archived for future viewing. So you too can be a part of this. Even though it's by internet, you can still be a part of what's happening here.